Last night's city council meeting, Channel 2 was a little bit of a disappointment for me. I thought you guys got out of there before midnight, A, and there was nothing said about, you know, this $270,000 deal with...
Tom was waiting for that one.
Oh, man. I just thought people were just going to be soiling themselves on Channel 2, but it didn't happen.
Thank goodness.
All right. Big deal last night. We'll get to that in a minute. Big deal last night, the comments and everything on the synthetic marijuana, synthetic pot, whatever you want to call it, incense. Karen Gibson is, you know, kind of lobbying to, you know, get 30, 40 new compounds on there. I think what we're trying to do is, aren't we trying to get some sort of system together to where we can just make these adjustments on the fly when the new compounds release, that we can just get it out of there?
Well, we can at the city level. The best that we can do is wait for the compounds to come out. Get the lawyers to do the work and get the ordinance out there, the ordinance, proposed ordinance amendment. The problem is we're chasing a moving target, and by this morning they'll have new compounds that will, I mean, they've got them literally waiting in supply rooms that won't meet the new ordinance. So it's a moving target that's very hard to hit.
They're probably watching Channel 2. Yeah, and then making it ready. Hey, this is interesting. From a standpoint, we were talking about the smoke shops and carrying it, and there was a gentleman that actually said, "Hey, it's not the stuff that people are buying in the smoke shops that are damaging people, that are, you know, bringing people to their knees, putting them in the hospital, and all these other things. It's the stuff they're buying out in trunks of cars." But I disagree with that.
I do too. I think there's a tremendous amount of this garbage on the shelves still in Lubbock, in quite a few smoke shops.
Some
have voluntarily pulled it from their shelves, though, correct?
My understanding is the biggest smoke shop in Lubbock, Nothing But Smokes, has none of this product anymore.
Do we know this for sure?
That's what the owner told me and Ms. Gibson and one of our city attorneys in a meeting last week.
Okay. Well, I
believe it to be true.
If you are a smoker and you do, you know, patronize Nothing But Smokes, not the other smoke shops, because we told you last year, when this stuff surfaced, you know, when the issue surfaced, and just said, "Hey, you know what? Just don't patronize the stores."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see, and I will tell you this, Glenn. You know, there was a smoke shop that was actually, I had done some work for, on the outside, on my own business, and they were wanting to advertise on the show. And then this came on. It was just like I had to make a choice. Okay, am I going to do what's right and what I felt was right, or am I going to shut my mouth and take an advertiser?
Right.
It wasn't even it wasn't a choice. You know, I can't support somebody that has this crap in their store, and I wouldn't, and I won't.
You know, it's one of those things that I really, and I voted against the ordinance last night. I voted against the original ordinance, but. Not because I think we need to be able to sell this stuff. We've got to figure out a way to get this stuff off the shelves. I just was very concerned that what we're doing is counterproductive and that it won't work. And I think what we did 8 months ago has contributed to the fact that this stuff is now more dangerous. Because if you think about it, you've got the manufacturers making this stuff. You list this list of chemicals that if you use any of these chemicals in your manufacturing process, this is illegal. So they go the next day and they change their compounds. What seems to have happened, which was my concerns almost a year ago, was they went from bad chemical to worst chemistry. Mm. And now we've got stuff that's even more deadly than it was 8 months ago. I still think we need to focus our efforts on making sure that no minors get this product. We need to have stiffer penalties for anybody that transmits it or delivers it or gives it to minors. But we still are going to have to wake up and realize in this country that we've got to start taking self-responsibility again if we're adults. Our government can't do everything for us.
Right.
And so that's part of my concerns with where we're at with this.
And making something illegal doesn't keep it from happening.
Well, look at the look at the meth problem we have in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Meth has been illegal forever, and we have one of the worst meth epidemics in Lubbock, Texas, that you can have. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Being illegal doesn't stop it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. We'll be back with Glenn Robertson. It's 7:16. Good morning. Visiting with Mayor Glenn Robertson after the city council meeting last night. Mr. Todd Klein is not running for re-election in District 3.
Correct.
But yet I think one of his projects that he's working on is trying to regulate or in some way put kibosh on certain aspects of the payday lending industry in our fair city.
Correct.
Okay, lay the groundwork out there as you understand it, because I'm kind of up on this, and I get it, and I understand what the motivation is, but I just want to make sure I'm not missing something.
Well, Mr. Klein has had an issue with the payday lending for quite a while. I mean, it's been brought up a couple of times. This time he's asked to create a task force to look at the issue and come back and make recommendations to not only this council about what we could do to potentially regulate the industry in Lubbock, but to also make recommendations up to the state legislature.
Okay. And I guess the motivation for that is feeling that that particular industry is abusive to the citizens?
You know, in Todd's mind, and I'm saying just from what he has said at the podium or from the dais, he calls it predatory lending and is concerned about the effect it has on people who can't afford it.
Well, I get it. You know, if you use a credit card, in my opinion, that's predatory lending. Because if you take a credit card, Laura,
mm-hmm.
and let's say you run up $3,500, let's say you put $100 on it. If you just pay the minimum,
mm-hmm.
you will never pay it off.
Right.
Never.
Well, and we've got to remember that the title loans and payday lending places are there because there's a market. There's a segment of our society that has poor to no credit at all. They have mismanaged their money or they've came up hard times for whatever reasons or credit shot.
Trust me, that is not exclusive to our city.
No, but the problem is if you overregulate, in my opinion, or try to run these type of businesses out of your community, you've hurt the very people you've intended to help. The reason those folks are having to pay those extremely high interest rates is because they are extremely high risk. And if you take an extremely high risk, you deserve a high reward because in that business, you're going to have a very high rate of bad loans. So I have an issue with us trying to enter a marketplace that I think kind of self-balances itself. If the rates get too high, the market dries up. So it's just a different philosophy that I have from Mr. Klein's. It doesn't make me right and him wrong. We just look at it differently. But that was postponed, and we'll be back on the agenda the next time. We postponed several things last night because Councilman Price was unable to attend, and Mayor Pro Tem Karen Gibson had to leave early because of a family emergency.
Yeah, and just FYI, you might want to say a prayer there. I think it was her dad, yes?
Yes, there's some health issues there.
Oh.
Yeah. excuse me. So it's not going well there.
She called me before and told me that there were some problems and that she was going to come to council. And I said, no, we'll get through. But she insisted that she needed to be there she's very passionate about the synthetic
right.
Drug thing. So she just insisted that she really did. So we moved the agenda around quite a bit last night to, quite frankly, allow her to make sure that she could have that discussion and then get back with her family to where they could do what they need to do.
Okay, so what were the things that were actually postponed last night?
We postponed the discussion on the Love's Travel Center. That was at the request of the proponents. They wanted a little bit more time to try to kind of work with the neighbors and see if they could solve any differences. And then we postponed the discussion on the Northeast Lubbock Community Development Corporation.
Hmm.
And the reason we did that, that has been such a controversial subject that we wanted all seven members there to discuss it, and really felt like that Councilman Price needed to be there since it has a lot to do with his district.
Yeah, this is interesting. Burley Owen actually made a presentation last night during comments, and it had his budget and things like that, but some of the things that he was saying were or putting forth were a little disturbing. For instance, 40% of the alleged budget for telephones was actually spent, I guess, in the first 3 months of the year.
You know, I don't have the numbers that Burley had in front of him. Burley does a lot of research, and it takes a lot of notes. What I will wait to do is see that I've got information provided to us by staff and by NELCDC. I did tell Mr. Owens last night, I told him two things. Number one, it was thanks for an email he'd sent me. He'd sent me a very nice email from a gentleman that doesn't agree with me on a couple of issues. So it was an extremely nice email. But the other thing was that if he had some direct questions that he would like for somebody to ask when we have this workshop session, that if he'd email them to me, I'd ask them for him since the public won't be allowed. But he is very engaged and interested in this situation.
Yeah, I think some of the things that were on his budget agenda were that he had highlighted, kind of piqued my interest. So I mean, I'm kind of interested to see just exactly what's going to happen.
Yes.
and the questions now in this workshop that's coming up on the NLCDC. Who are the players that are going to be involved in this? Obviously, it's going to be the NLCDC people.
Yeah, we'll ask their staff to be there to answer questions. It's really just a point where council can try to get some good facts, since there's been so much information put out there by the media. We need to find out what the true facts are.
Okay. We're having a conversation with Mayor Glenn Robertson about city council meeting last night. Now, I told you I was disappointed, or actually I was surprised, that nobody made citizens' comments about the EUB or the investigation or the monies that had been spent about this. So I just wanted to kind of direct a little attention toward that because I am curious.
Right.
Okay, let's start here. What happened was is we've got this 2019 contract with XL Energy that expires. So basically what we're doing is for years we've been kind of spelunking around trying to look for alternatives. Yes.
Well, there's been two failed attempts to find a solution. One was when they put the High Plains Diversified Corporation together, and that group signed a contract with Republic Powers, and of course we're in a lawsuit on that situation, so can't say much about it. But then we had that thing fall apart, and now we had the RFP that was just killed and let it fall apart.
Okay, now that particular RFP, we had the investigation. Who was the first firm that actually did the $40,000 to $50,000 worth of work that did not get paid?
Andrews Kurth.
Andrews Kurth actually did this investigation. Now, originally, the EUB said that the RFP was kosh and we were going to go ahead, and because we were going to go with the original, the RFP, because there was no wrongdoing or anything like that, yet we did end up trashing that. But I guess I went along with public opinion. I thought that it was a crazy upside down, no good deal.
Well, one company was given an unfair advantage. They were allowed to write the initial specs for the RFP. Under state law, we could not have allowed that to go on. The discussion went on for much longer than it should have, but the board did finally make the decision to reject any and all bids and start over.
Okay, so we start over. But in the investigation, Andrews Kurth, who was investigating, I guess, the wrongdoing or the alleged wrongdoing relative to the RFP, was replaced by the Ashcroft law firm.
Correct.
Okay, now, in the EUB, I guess Mr. Kimbrough had said that, who is the general counsel that we just hired, correct?
Correct.
About what, a year ago?
Less than a year.
Less than a year. All right. He had forecast or stated that the investigation might be 75 or 85,000.
Well, that comment is under question. That's what I remember hearing in executive session. It's also what I know a couple of other members I've talked to remembered hearing. The party line in LPNL now is that that's not what was stated. Matter of fact, what I'm hearing is they're saying that there was really no estimate given. The problem is we don't record executive session. There's just handwritten minutes by the secretary, so there's not a good record. So there's no way to really confirm what was said or what was not
said.
Who is
the secretary?
Well, a lady named Olivia keeps all the minutes. And by design, executive minutes are typically, they're not very detailed. It's that way on most boards and commissions I've served
on. So what you're telling me is that these minutes are kept on cocktail napkins.
Well, no, sir. That's not right. No. And I will tell you, Olivia's a great lady and does a tremendous job. I don't want it to sound like I'm throwing her under the bus, because I'm not. It's just that...
I was just making a wisecrack.
In situations like this, there's really no way to go back and prove what was said. So it's really, you know, a little ridiculous to have the argument of saying, well, you know, I know they said this, and then have a response from LPNL to say, no, we said this. So it's business as usual right now.
Okay. In the communique from the Ashcroft Law Firm, don't you think, I mean, in communication, that we would have some sort of estimate?
Well, you know, we've got a city policy that LPNL is supposed to follow on hiring outside counsel. You've also got a policy at LPNL set by their board that the CEO has authority to spend money up to $100,000 without board approval. Now, that's way out of whack, because the city manager only has approval up to $50,000. So
wow.
There's a problem there.
Yeah.
But this was, you know, $272,000, so it was way past $100,000 approval limit. So there's several issues with this.
Okay, we'll be back talking about the EUB spending. How do you feel about it? 770-5790, I'd like to hear from you. 743, we'll be back. Visiting with Glenn Robertson, mayor of Lubbock, after the city council meeting. Now, again, just to iterate, we did not have any discussion about the EUB or this $270,000 bill from the Ashcroft Law Firm relative to the EUB. here's the kind of thing that upsets my stomach when I think about this, because in the paper earlier in the week, Mr. Isom, Clayton Isom, who is on the EUB, the Electric Utility Board, he's a board member, basically said that, quote, we have no leadership. Now, technically, if you're a board member, aren't you part of the leadership?
Well, you are. And I think, you know, Clayton was probably just venting a little frustration. You need to understand that on two occasions, Clayton had fired to make a change at the top of LPNL. But he hadn't had the support of the rest of the board. So I can understand his frustrations. I've been where he's at. I've served on that board and have had the same issues. But, you know, that's a 9-member board, and it takes 5 votes to get something done. And at this point, it is seemingly that board is happy with their attorney and their CEO.
Well, this is what I was gathering from the story that I read earlier in the week, that they're revisiting the possibility of the examination of the status of Gary Zing. Is this true, or is it false, or conjecture, or is this just like the phrase that pays for the day, or what?
Well, any board member can put an agenda item on any board meeting at any time, and I think there's been a request to have the subject matter listed again to be able to talk about the employment of the top two people. There's only two people that report to the board over there, the LPNL attorney and the CEO.
This to me kind of feels like one of those ivory tower deals. And before the break, we were talking about this. The city manager can only spend 50 G without approval.
Correct.
Okay. Whereas the CEO of LPL,
right,
can spend 100 G.
Correct.
Without approval. Now, you know, based on track record, that begs my next question. What makes Gary Zing so special?
Well, you have to understand that board has, by charter, a lot of flexibility in setting some of their own policies. Quite frankly, they're not held accountable to the public. They're appointed by the city council. They're not elected officials. So there's not a lot of backlash if you make those type of decisions. I disagree with a lot of the decisions they make, but I have to remind myself constantly that it's not my place to really question them, because the charter is explicit in saying that that board is to, you know, oversee the day-to-day operation of LPL and not the city council.
Right. You know, this has always been advertised as Lubbock's home-owned utility. You know, there's always been an effort to try and instill a sense of ownership into the citizens, like, hey, this is ours.
Right.
When Xcel was here in open contract, and, you know, when people were actually getting bills in the municipality, now in the outlying area, people still do get Xcel, some people. But it was kind of an us versus them. And it's like, you should patronize us because we are Lubbock's home-owned utility. Yet, I don't see where the citizens actually, and even the sentiment of the citizens is even closely resembled in the actions of the EUB or the people that are at the top of LPL. To me, it doesn't seem like it's congruous with the public opinion.
Well, it's, you know, I can't gauge that. It, like I say, I have some differences of opinions, with that board from time to time, but, you know, they're volunteer board members and they're trying to make the best decisions they can. It doesn't do me a lot of good or the citizens any good for me to second guess them. I think we've got some structure issues we need to deal with, but, like I say, I don't see a good fix to the issue right now.
Okay. Just real quick before we hit the break, I just have this question. We were talking about, the structure and how all this works, and it's in the city charter. In similar situations in other cities, our size or not, are their charters representative of ours, or is ours just one of those things that was written by somebody on a bad day?
Well, you know, our charter, there's not, the issue is we amended the charter in 2003 with an election. And I think based on bad information that was put out by folks that quite frankly wanted to take over LPL. Very few cities are in our situation. There's not many cities that own their own electric power company. So, you know, Austin is going through some of the same issues with their own power company. We're not alone in the fact that we have some difficulties in managing our electric utility.
It's 7:55. Good morning. We'll be back. We're talking with Mayor Glenn Robertson and talking about the wind energy contract real quick. You know, we're talking about this big wind energy field out north of the city. Where are we at on that? Is that a real, do you consider that to be a real alternative?
You know, that's a private company out there that's raising private monies and putting a package together. They don't have any contracts with any buyers yet. So I don't know. I hadn't seen any action out of it.
Okay. So, for the time being, it's just in the wind. Yeah. All right, coming up 8:20, we're going to wrap up our week-long series, Focus on Parkinson's, Beyond Faith Home Care, going to be here. Mayor, have a fantastic day.
Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.